the junk going around there. I've talked to multiple people throughout the week that have been watching online live. If you've missed the last 2 weeks, I just want to encourage you, get online and watch it. We learned a lot from, and I just want to, you know, Stephen, by the way, the same thing here. I was back in my office kind of praying, get ready, and I could hear, I thought they had no drummer today. So thanks for stepping up. But even, you know, we don't sometimes appreciate all the work that goes in. Last 2 weeks that Kenny preached these messages on our history of our foundation, do you know how many hours and hours and hours were poured upon that? I appreciate him so much. As a church, you don't realize how blessed we are. I've been bragging about him for the last 2 weeks to everybody I walk into. And you know what I'm hearing? Oh, I watched online. So what's exciting to me is not only are we getting you guys in the Word, but along with that, he was sharing this morning about in the midst of trial in 2020. And I just wrote some new notes on the back of my sermon notes. So we'll see how long this goes and see where I go today. But you know, I was just thinking as we were back there talking about refreshing. I think about the history of the Bible, when it comes to trials, God always answers his people. God is always there for his people. Let's start back in the land of Goshen. See, when there was persecution arising for Pharaoh, and there's all these problems arising, there is no reason that people in Goshen should have had peace. I mean, there was death threats, there's all these things, but God protected them from the plagues and everything. As long as we're inside and trusting in God's plan for our life, he'll always meet us in the middle of those needs. The Hebrew children that stood in the midst of the fiery furnace were thrown in and God met them there. Another one was during famine. It says, so many times in Scripture it says, and they sowed in the years of famine and God multiplied in those years. The same years where there's famine around the world, God's people thrived, not just survived, but God blessed them in those years of famine. We have to realize that our economic system, our financial system, our health system is not according to what we read in the world. You know, I was reading this week, and I know it might surprise you, but I read like, I don't know why, when I get my computer out, I'm late at night, like I was in a hotel one night, I was reading all these reports, and when I get bored, I start reading things I probably just don't even need to read, like what Dr. Fauci says. And so I was reading some things. No offense, please, I know people watch online. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying, have you read how many times he contradicts himself? This is a telltale sign that you have the COVID. And it gives these lists. And yet, I know of a person this week that was tested with every symptom and said, those three, because if you have these three, you got COVID for sure. They went and got tested, negative. Now, I don't know if it's our testing system or a doctor's being wrong, but if you put your trust in what you're hearing out there, you are going to be sadly disappointed. Our trust is not in what the doctor, and yes, do we need to use wisdom and do we need to go and continue to plead and apply the blood of Jesus over it? Yes, yes, yes. Don't live like this doesn't exist. Let's live like we have a God who's more powerful. Whether it's Goshen, whether it's famine, whether it's sickness, whatever it is, God is always there to meet the needs of his people. And then we should not ever let fear grip us in these seasons. And the last one was, you know, in the early church, when Stephen was persecuted and was killed and became the first martyr, it says, in the years of those persecution, the church multiplied. When the enemy comes at us, God releases his blessing and favor over us. I think when we can get a mindset about that and stop getting in, it's like, why do you pay your tithe? Well, money's tight because I know my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and his power and his provision, not mine. So like this morning, many of you all know, I do a business on the side. It's become more and more of a business. But what I love is every single quarter, because when you do a business, you do your quarterly, we get to write a tithe check that's sometimes very good. And I'm just sitting here going, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just laugh. I walked up to my wife this morning and said, hey, we need to write the check for this morning. Anyone that makes me happy, why? Not because I love this church so much, which I do. But I love the God that we serve that blessed us so much that I'm able to give my first fruits back to him and in obedience to his word. Because why? Because when we're obedient, we're blessed. So I've had people tell me for years, well, I don't give nothing, I'm still blessed. Well, we'll see how long that lasts when famine comes and when persecution comes. I believe in being faithful and good stewards because I love God anyways. Whether there was no blessing attached to it. We are faithful because God's word says it. But I just want to encourage you, as Kenny was talking about refreshing, this morning. Those thoughts came to my head, that God always wants to refresh his people in the midst of the trial when we put our trust in him, whether it's famine, persecution, whether it's trials that go through Goshen, or whether it's whatever, pestilence, disease. God is always going to meet our needs. Amen? Amen. That's good. Thanks, Kenny, for stirring that in my heart today. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 1, and we're going to go through the first few verses of John 1. I'm going to break it down into a few categories. Let's start at verses 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was as in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Stop right there. The first point I want to share with you this morning, and I'm going to have three points that I'm going to make for you today. This is what's on my heart, and I don't know why. Even I was back there struggling this morning. I even told Dwayne, I'm like, because I do. I said, I'm just trying to piece this together because I think I've got like different sermons. But thankfully, through prayer and me standing in the back there worshiping, I kept going back and getting a pen and seeing how it's fitting together. But the first three verses are some of the most powerful ones. We as a church believe that the power of God's word will prevail against anything. People say, are you a word of faith? Whatever. I am a word man because Jesus is the word, and this word that we possess today has the power of God in it. And therefore, there is an attack against this word. And I was going to give you a story, and my kids know this one because I already shared it with them. But I was able to do, I was doing a roof estimate at a place a couple last week. And as I was there, I was meeting with one of the guys who graduated from the same university I went to. And so we got talking about, like anything, theology and basis and Bible stuff. It was really good. And I was going back, and I forget that the people that taught me at Taylor are probably either dead or retired a long time ago. So no one heard of anybody. But we were having some fun talking about it. And I realized I was... You know, those that don't know me well, I tend to just speak my mind a little bit. And we were talking about some of the struggles I have with today's biblical teachings and how I think that liberalism has got into our Bible so much and it concerns me so greatly. And I began to share some examples how this liberal mindset has gotten into the teaching of the word and talked about not taking this as a literal word, but as figurative, as poetic, and other things. And I said, it annoys me so much that people could discredit the word so much. All we're doing is we're undermining the foundation of the power of God's word when you say it's not literal. When you say, well, you could take it as figurative. That means who in this room is smarter than God that can decide which one you're going to decide? Well, I don't believe that's literal. That was figurative. One of the things, and I hated missing the last week or so of Brian and Melody singing the book of Revelation, but when you take that book literal, and when you understand that it literally reads the way it does, and the symbolic events are built into its literal translation, you'll understand the book a lot better because God's word didn't change. And when you hear Brian and Melody bringing all this other information there, I learned a lot. I learned some stuff about the rapture that I will always, it was enjoyable because it was just right there in the word. And I believe when we can just be people of the word. And okay, so let me finish my story. So then I get there and I talk about, I said, especially this new teaching, it's not new, it was back when I was, this teaching on theistic evolution, it just really, really irritates me. So I went through this and then finally the guy looks at me and goes, well, it was great talking to you. I said, well, so what's your plan doing your Bible degree and all that? He goes, well, I just want you to know that based on everything you just said, you'd be considering me liberal too. I'm like, oops. I felt bad for just a second, but not really. And I said, well, can I ask you then, can you support your biblical view on that then? And as he began to share with me scientific ideas, but nothing biblical. And I finally said to him, can I give you a few verses? Number one is the order of creation is wrong if you try to take evolution. They contradict each other. So one has to be right and one has to be wrong. Okay? So we can't merge the two together when they don't agree. You can't take two opposites and put them together and say, hey, they work when they don't fit. Number two is God created everything after its own kind. And the third one is this right here. All things were made by God. And without him was not anything made that was made. There's nothing made that God did not make. God spoke it, And it happened. And I don't mean to pick on my son, embarrass him, but since the crowd's a little smaller today, you know, everything, you know, so in the school he was in, he was doing one of his speeches about this very thing. And he was able to look at one of the professors who does believe in this and said, it just stuck with me because it wasn't my words. A lot of times I'll coach him and share stuff with him. We'll have good conversations. But he said, why cannot, I forget the way he said it, but it was pretty combative, I'm guessing, because he's a pretty, you know, he was very passionate about this. And he says, why is it that we can lack so much faith to not believe what God said and he has his ability to perform his word? I'm paraphrasing what he said. And that struck me that when I heard my son say that, I go, wow, how can people lack faith in God's word so much that we have to change the word to make it work? And I think number one, as we're going into the book of John, in the beginning was the word, period. The word was with God, the word was God. Therefore, and we're going to talk about in verse 14, the word becoming flesh, so we know that the word is Jesus. So anyone who doesn't believe in a triune God, right there alone, if you believe in the word as my foundation and structure of everything to live, now I've also just found out that in the beginning was God and Jesus. They were together but separate. Triune God. These few verses right here are so passionate for me. I could just stay on this all day, but I won't. But the word has to become so powerful in our life that we cannot substitute it with any other truth but this. And so here's what I wrote out. When the word... Could you turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11:6 or first? Thank you. No, 11:3. Excuse me. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We understand that by faith in the word, all things were created. They were created by the word of God, spoken as He spoke the word in. It became life. He spoke it and it came into existence. The power of the word and the power of faith combined has a creative force for every single person in this room. And you can create the environment around you every single day by the power of the words that you speak. If you think it's going to be a crappy day, guess what? I'm not supposed to say it. My mom would get mad, and she's probably great. Mom, I'll give you a quarter later, okay, in my little jar that I had as a kid. If you think you're going to have that kind of a day, you will. Because when you begin to believe and speak those things out, you are framing your world based on your words. And it does annoy me so much when I hear, if it's going to happen bad, it's going to happen to me. You are right. And they wonder why it keeps happening. We are framing our existence based on the faith that we put in the words that we speak. When we understand the power of this, we will stop using idle words, dumb words, stupid words, demeaning words, faithless words, and start speaking and declaring life and truth over every circumstance we're in right now. You know, I've heard people say, you know, just think about this pandemic. Speak truth. Is it a disease? Yeah, okay, good. Is cancer a disease? Yes. What, does that have power over you? Nope. Speak truth. Speak the word. And so this is what I wrote after reading this verse right here. I wrote this down. When the word loses relevance, our faith loses its power. When the word loses its relevance, our faith loses its power. Because when we can't depend on the word that's been written and the word that's been spoken, the power of our faith will diminish based on those things. Because my faith is rooted and grounded in this. And when someone tries to lose its cause this to lose its relevance, that book really wasn't inspired by God. You know, there's a lot of authors that could have had their opinion. You know, and I hear this junk all the time. Oh, well, you know, and really the literal part of it, do you think Jesus really meant that? Yes, I do actually. And they look at you funny, like, I believe that every single word in this book was inspired by God because that's what the Bible says. And when you lose the power of this and lose the relevance of this, our faith gets diminished just a little bit more. And we lose a little bit more power because when you can't speak something and have the power of the authority behind it, you lose the power of believing that God's word is really going to exist. If there's anyone in this room or anyone in this camera but does not believe that the power of God to heal, to forgive, to cleanse, to set you free, to redeem you, then you will not walk in the power that you've been given. Because you only will have faith in what you believe the word says. And if you don't believe the word, that's why when people want to argue with me all the time, I don't believe it's God's will to heal today. Well, he won't then. Problem solved. True? If you don't believe the word says it, then you've lost, and you put, there's no relevance to the word there, then now you've lost the faith and the power of it to believe it. And we've got to get as a church to be a faith believing in the word of God, that not only is it just words on a page, but it's God himself is the word. And we're putting all of our faith in who he is and what his word says in our life. Let's keep reading in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came as a witness to bear witness of the light through all men, through might, that he might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness that the light, that the true light, which lights every man, comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and they received him not. Let me stop there. The second point that I'd like to make about John 1 is not only is the word the power, now we're talking about him being the life of the light. If you turn quickly to Matthew chapter 5, and I know our computer guy is so fast, he'll beat me there, but we're going to go read verses 14 and on. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Turning back to the book of John now. You are the light of the world. Because the God who is light, who John was, he says, I'm just the messenger. I'm just the one giving the good news to you. I'm just bearing witness of the light that we have. But look at verse 5. Does this not describe the current situation we see in our politics, in our church? And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. When I read this verse, it saddened me. We can be light, but isn't it weird today, as we just heard from Kenny the last 2 weeks, and let me just throw something in, we can discuss so many things about the nature. When I went and took some classes at Ball State, when I was in ministry school, I was doing Bible college and Ball State at the same time. I took some classes, and I was doing a government class, and I had to write a paper based on the history of government and everything else. And I had this great paper that I thought was awesome because I just took history at Taylor University, who was very biblically based history. And I was loading this paper in there, and I just was, oh, man, I thought it was awesome. And so I loaded it up there, and I got my paper back, and my professor wrote, and this is one of those hall ones where there's like, I don't know, like big massive crowds, so you never knew your professor. It's just one of those ones you write a paper hand in, and if you show up, they don't ever know. But he got to know me that day because I got my paper back, and I talked about the foundation of the world being Christian-based and very similar to what our nation, I mean, being a Christian nation and so on and so forth. I forgot now I went from Taylor to Ball State. Oops, a little bit different teaching there. And I got this grade back, and it said A-. I thought, well, good. I thought I did a really darn good job on that paper. I was pretty proud of myself. And then I opened up, and I saw a few mistakes. Then I got to the back page, and in red marker, I had an entire page stapled to the back of my page challenging everything I just wrote about the foundation. He said, I noticed that all the sources that you used were Christian-based sources, and they were not historically based that I would put relevance in. I think before you write a paper and come to these assumptions, you should have more factual proof. And he wrote me this big old thing. So, of course, I took it up to him after class and said, as a matter of fact, his Professor Reagan was his name. And I thought, oddly enough, with the politics that were going on in the government class. And I said, could I ask you? And we got into this great conversation. He was the nicest guy. And he said to me, I'm a Christian. I just want to challenge you that when you put something together like this, you don't just use all your Christian sources, but get out there and do what Kenny did. Go the letters themselves. Go the proof itself. Because what you're saying is accurate, but your sources weren't factual enough for me. If you want to convince the world that we're a Christian nation, you better do it from a better perspective. I left that class feeling really good and bad at the same time. Good, because I got an A, by the way, and I was really happy. But bad, going, wow, I just learned something that was pretty awesome from one of my professors. But as Kenny's been doing this the last couple of weeks, what's really struck me is this. In the beginning of our nation, when the light was shining, it was bright. And there was no darkness. People, and even people who I would look back and say were not believers as we look at them. I mean, I'm not going to go argue because, you know, those that don't know me that well, I happen to fall into the realm of a border conspiracy theorist. People accuse me of that. I don't know why. But, you know, stuff about the Illuminati that I read and other stuff. But, you know, I don't know why they would say such things. But I probably ought to just acknowledge that there is some truth to it. But so when we look back at our foundation of our nation, we also know those things existed too. But what's weird is the same people who wrote that and were very high up in those rankings that we know of in the conspiracy world were also people that promoted the gospel of Christ, which was odd because now those same rankings are involved with some massive stuff doing the exact opposite. So when Kenny was talking about our foundation, he's not saying every single person that we talked about was a born-again believer going, you know, loving Jesus, but there was a foundation set in this nation of godly principles and his word was honored. We've lost that. And it grieves me because even the people who were unbelievers that we would think of still honored God's word and it as light and as truth and as a temple to live by when it came to the courts and judicial systems. But now, God's word is being mocked. And preachers are being mocked because of what we believe. And now we're preaching and the light's getting out there. We have the light, the ability to have the light promoted on television all over the world. And yet, we live in some of the darkest hours we've ever lived in when it comes to the gospel. It saddens me. Because the light is shining out there through all these people. And yet, the world is full of darkness. Now, the church is still, I'm not saying the church isn't full of light. I'm saying we need to let our light shine in such a way that the world becomes a place where they can't hide any longer. Maybe it's in the family gatherings coming up as you're going to, or maybe it's, I don't know where it's going to be, where you're going to be the next couple weeks and months. But what if we took a message right here that Jesus was the Word, and the Word became life and became light. And in that light that you have inside of you is the life of God being promoted around you everywhere you go. So no matter where we go, whether it's Walmart or Kroger, people ought to recognize the light that you carry, that you possess, is so great that darkness gets dispelled everywhere we go. Because light still dispels darkness. But we have a very, very dark cloud that's coming and warring against us, but we have more power than that has. Light, when I walk in right now, you know, I'm walking in my master closet, right off my bathroom, and yeah, and was it 2 days ago, I walked in there, hit the light switch, and it was bright, and then poof. I'm like, it was bright. You know what, I've had to look for clothes the last 3 days, 2 days, in darkness, and it's not fun. I mean, I hope I match today, but no, I wouldn't walk out of the house, but she wouldn't let me leave if I don't match, but or wrinkles. She actually don't care if I match, it's just wrinkles. Wrinkles gets her. It's wrinkly, take that off. But oh, same. All the guys like, yeah, I feel your pain. But you know, I realized, and I went, she changed it weird. Oh, she's going there to change the bulbs. Not the bulbs. I'm guessing something up in the attic decided to chew through those wires. You know how fun it is to work in darkness? It's not. But all you realize is we forget the power of light when we don't have it. And that's how the world feels right now around you. If you can look at them as people in darkness instead of the words that I like to use on some of the political people out there that I don't like a lot, I have to remember that the person who heads up the house in front of the, she is in darkness, and I need to pray for her. And so is in darkness, and I need to pray for them. And I need to pray that God would put people in their lives, that their light would shine so bright that it would dominate over the darkness that's being prevailing. In our politics, in our nation, in our schools, in our jobs, our light has power to dispel darkness. I put the when the light loses its ability to shine, darkness will prevail. The only way darkness will prevail is if we stop trying to go out and be the light of the world. I think this I love the book of John. I just do. I love John's heart in this is this. He talks about who the word is and now who the light is. And then he's going to now transfer to us. Let's get to just the next few verses. The transference now becomes, not only are we the light, and not only do we possess the word in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The other thing is now he's going to give us authority to walk in this world. Let's keep reading in verse 12. But as many that did, now remember, the previous verse, I stopped. The previous verse just said he went to the world and they didn't receive him. They went to his own and they didn't receive him. But those that do receive him, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The word there for power is not the word dunamis, which means miracle power. It's the word used in the Great Commission that we use for authority. Every one of us in this room has been given the authority of God to be sons and daughters of God. When you became a child of God, you have been given all authority you need, all power you need to tread upon serpents, diseases, poison. Remember all those things that's listed in there. You have given authority over all the power of the devil. When we understand that, as children of God, you possess that authority. So no longer are we talking about the light over there or the word over there. We're talking the word in us, the light in us, and now the authority in us to rise above what we see going around us and live this world with authority. Not allowing pandemics to put fear in us or financial law. I just read a report this way that the take your money out of the stock market, one person, the other person says, oh, no, we're going to have a big gain. I don't put my trust in that. My trust is in God's word and his economy. Verse 13, which were born not of blood or the will of of flesh or the will of man, but of God. Each one of us were born by the will of God. And I always say, when we're adopted, it was God's will that he causes us to be his child. Let's get to Romans 8, verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So that defines you right now, that if you are being led by the Spirit of God, that is, you are now a child of God because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, this is where the authority comes in. You ready? Not only are we name only, not only do we have his name on our last name now, he adopted me, but, and if you're children, then you're heirs, heirs of God, and co and joint heirs with Christ. Now, people sometimes have a hard time with this one, don't they? If so, and so if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Anyways, Jesus suffered by through obedience. The greatest thing that we suffer today is through our obedience. We obey to go the blessing of God. If you go through, I read this before, Hebrews 6 talks about this, that when we walk in obedience, that is where the blessing of God is always going to be found. And so right here it says, let me finish, we are co-heirs with Christ. We don't want to, so when you say that Jesus or is like a brother to us, that's not being disrespectful. The King of the universe has given his son to us, and now we became sons and daughters also. Now, he is still God, we're not, but we are co-heirs with him now. So everything that Jesus had and that he possessed on this earth, he gave to us to also have and possess. We have been treated the same, as if we were born of God himself. And he says, now you're my child, I treat you the same. You can call me dad, just like Jesus did. When he teaches how to pray, our Father which art in heaven, Jesus prayed that. He says, I want you to pray the same way. Because I am giving you the same relationship status that I have with my Father. And that's what we've been given here in John chapter 1. We've been given the authority to be called sons and daughters of God. When we lose our identity as sons and daughters of God, illegitimacy will reign in our lives. What is illegitimacy? Once again, referring to a sermon that Kenny preached recently, he's talking, and it really, it struck me because I didn't quite read that scripture that way until afterwards. I went home and read some more, and thought, that's really good. When we lose our identity, and we don't understand whether it's, he's talking about evolution, some of the principles, that when we don't have a creator, and we're the created beings, we lose our identity of having a father. That's why this issue of evolution is so big to, I know it is to many of us. When we try to remove a father figure or remove an authority figure in our lives, we become illegitimate. The word calls it a bastard child. And we have a lot of illegitimate children running around right now not knowing who their father is. They don't know who their father is. Because we live in a fatherless generation that doesn't understand the power of knowing who they belong to. I don't belong to myself. The decisions I make should honor God and honor my father as if, because I bear his name now. You bear his name now. And when we understand that, and I always think of it, it's because, you know, the Cottingham family is always here with their adopted beautiful child. And Ashley's got some, these adopted children. Those children don't think they don't belong at all. They're one of the family. They get treated the same. They get disciplined the same too. They get loved the same. Why? Because they're one of the family. But when the world out there, not only are they in darkness, but they also have no father. We have an illegitimate generation right now out there that's longing to be fathered. And we have the authority as sons and daughters of God to lead this people around us to the God and give them identity again. Give them hope that they have a God that gives them a new identity as sons and daughters. Let's keep reading. Let me just finish this scripture. So we have the word, we have the light, we have our adoption as sons and daughters. And now verse 14, we're going to go back into what Jesus did. For as many as, back to Romans there. John 1, verse 14. And the word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Praise and worship team, you can come on up, by the way. And of his fullness have we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is of the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The last verse 18 says this. We haven't seen God, but by the works of Jesus, they have been revealed to us. There's no excuse that we have seen Jesus and he has been revealed to us, that his love and nature for us. But let me just finish with this today. Verses 16 and 17. For the fullness have we received grace for grace, God's grace to give us grace. For the law was given by Moses, but through Jesus we have grace and truth. We have to be people, as Kenny's been sharing the last couple of weeks, and as I would like to share with you right now, as we go into this season of our life, and I do believe in New Year's, and I know the calendars are great, but I just like to start today. We need to be, summarizing it all, we need to have our identity so much wrapped up into who we are as children of God, and that the Word of God becomes so powerful that we become the light in this darkness. We are living in the nation where there's darkness everywhere, but when the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter, it will automatically dispel those areas of darkness. Remember, we don't have to try hard to be a light. You just have to be the light. When you walk in a room, you should light up the room. Because the gospel of love and grace and truth is inside of you. Jesus came, he said the law brought condemnation. It brought judgment. The law showed us where we were wrong. But Jesus didn't bring that. He came to bring grace and truth. Truth in how you can receive life and grace to forgive you and give you the power to live a changed life. That is inside of every one of you today, to walk in a room and light up the room with grace and truth. When you go to work, grace and truth. Truth doesn't compromise. When you're around coworkers, and they want to live compromised, you don't have to compromise. Truth will still prevail. He didn't say we water it down so we make the people around you feel good about themselves. No. Even if you're working with fellow Christians, by the way, side note, when they're living in deception, Christians, it's okay to love them and give them grace, but not to compromise truth. I know that we're around so many different belief systems. When you go to work, you can go to people that believe, some people don't believe in the gifts of spirit. Some people don't believe in healing. Listen, we're not to fight and argue them, but if they want to talk, we have a truth inside of us that's in his word that we must release grace and truth to everyone we encounter. That is the light of his good news. The good news today is God's grace is more powerful than the darkness and the lies they believe in the world, and we have to be empowered to do that. Amen? So as we go into next week, we're into Christmas. Normally that verse 14 would be my Christmas message, but I decided to apply it today because last year when we do the play, I don't get as long to speak. They don't give me as much time to speak on the Christmas plays now. So I wanted to share this. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us as a baby. He grew up as the Son of God on this earth and became the example of light and truth to every one of us to follow and live by. And I want us to jerk your chain today and say, listen, get the Word as relevant in your life. Get the light back in you where you have become light. If you work in a hospital with all the fear and junk going on, walk in there with a smile and the light of God's goodness and lighten up and brighten up the room. Every patient you encounter, every place you go, whether you work at Walmart or Lowe's, got a couple of Lowe's, you can be the goodness that they see. And I know with those masks, it's hard to see your smile, by the way. I do know that. But still, your eyes can show the glory of God. You can be the light of the world. And let's do that. Let's give this dark situation, this pandemic darkness cloud, let's penetrate it with you and me this week. Let's put some daggers in those clouds and become the light of God's goodness and good mercy, his good news for everyone around you. Amen? Let's do this. Father, we thank you right now that the goodness of your word is power to those that believe. And I believe your word. I'm a child of God. And I want to have the authority to become all that you called me to be as a child. I'm healed. I'm free. I'm delivered. I am a child of God. And I thank you for those promises received. And now let's leave this place with the light shining in it. I pray right now, everyone in this room that needs a bulb change. Right now, I'm changing your bulb. Get to, if you're at 60 watt, let's get up to 100 watt. Let's become bright when we walk out of here and we penetrate this dark cloud that's been perpetrated by the internet and the media and all the things around us. We will see the gospel of the good news shine bright again. We pray that it starts right here in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.